This is Digital Story Podcast number 635, May 15th, 2018. Today's theme is The Right Drone for You, an interview with Mike Boehning. I'm Derek Story. Ever since I read about the new Mavic Air, I have wondered if I should replace my beloved Spark. So to help me decide, I called up my friend and drone enthusiast, Mike Boehning, to discuss the latest in quadcopters, their accessories, and a few important flying tips. I also recorded it so I could share it with you on this week's TDS podcast. I hope you enjoy our chat. So that's right, I have been thinking about the Mavic Air. I mean, if you love flying quadcopters and you have a Spark, why wouldn't you think about it? Because when it's folded up, and unlike the Spark, its legs fold in, it is actually even a tad more portable than the Spark, which is just crazy, but yet it has all of these features. So I've been debating, should I invest, should I not invest, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I decided to go to my go-to guy for bouncing ideas off, especially about drones and quadcopters and things like that, my partner in crime for the San Francisco workshop, Mike Boehning. And so Mike and I arranged this chat, and we had a Skype chat. Mike is in Detroit, and I'm here in California. So on a Saturday morning, when the weather was kind of bad at his place, and it was early here, and we just said, okay, let's just talk about this, and help me, Mike, help me get to the bottom of this. So I recorded that interview, and I have it for you right now, and I think you'll really enjoy it. You know, Mike's a great guy, and there's a lot of good information in there. And then after the interview, I'll let you know what I think and maybe what I'm going to do. But first, let's get Mike on the air here, and let's talk about quadcopters. Michael on the line, Mike Boehning, and Michael and I, we teach the San Francisco workshop together, and that's one of the things we have in common, and we also have Olympus Micro Four Thirds photography in common, but we have one other area too, Michael, and we both are interested in aerial photography.
We certainly are, and thank you so much, Derek, for having me on. I appreciate it, and we sure do on aerial photography. I think, feel like I've gone the gamut now in the last 3 years with aerial photography, starting out with the Mavic Pro and, going to the Spark. And then now with the Mavic Air, it feels like I've run the race and I might be at the finish line with what I like.
Well, you're the guy that I go to when I go, okay, Mike, tell me, is this interesting or not? Should I be looking at this? And what I wanted to talk about today, since you set it up really well, which is, you've gone from like the big quadcopter, the big guy, to then the smallest of them in the Spark. And now, as you said yourself, you sort of had, the one that's just right, which is the Mavic Air. If you don't mind, could you start out and just sort of characterize each of the three different types? Because I think one of the things I want people to get out of this interview is if they're thinking about getting into this, what might be the right aircraft for them?
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Well, the Mavic Pro certainly was born from the large Phantoms. If you follow DJI, they had, and they still do, the amazing Phantom quadcopters. And I call that a serious quadcopter. I know Jamie McDonald, my co-host there on Mirrorless Minutes, has one of the Phantom 3 Pros, I believe. And that, that thing is a beast. I will put a little sideline in that he's now gotten rid of that and has the Mavic Air. But the Mavic Pro itself is an excellent quadcopter, obviously larger than the Mavic Air. And I think it's DJI's first iteration of trying to make things small. And they did a great job. It's highly touted, fantastic video, fantastic photo, photographs. And then they go entirely the opposite way and make something even smaller with the DJI Spark. And I know when I first saw the Spark, I was just knocked out by, I said, this is it. Now I don't have to fold all my legs and do all this and carry special cases And, you know, for my remote control, I could throw this in my backpack and I'm rolling. I could bring it on my bike rides. And the DJI Spark certainly is cheaper. And at the same time, you really did give up a little bit when it comes to video on the gimbal, I believe. I believe it goes from the three-axis to the two-axis, if I'm right, Derek.
That's correct. It's a two-axis gimbal.
Two-axis gimbal on the Spark. You know, I didn't notice a whole lot other than when you're trying to go left to right and get that aerial sort of cinematic type of shots. You might not be able to get them as well with the Spark. And then late last year, they brought out the Air, and this is almost like the three bears. You know, I'm going to go to this bed, that bed, and then finally find the right bed. The Mavic Air just seems to grab everything from the Mavic Pro, the fun stuff from the Mavic, the Spark, put it all together, make it in a smaller package. I actually believe when I look at the two, the Spark and the Air, I actually feel like the Air is smaller because the legs fold in.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly is the size of like the back of it. If you laid an iPhone 8 Plus on the back of the Air, you would cover it up with the legs folded in.
Wow.
And that to me is, and DJI does a lot of things right when it comes to small things. They make an amazing case for the Mavic Air. And I know I probably have a little bit of a bag problem and a case problem, like a lot of us.
Exactly.
And when I see an amazing case fit perfectly, I go, oh, this is exactly what I wanted. I don't know if I like the case more than the Mavic Air. You know, you throw it in your backpack. You've got your iPhone with you. The controller now, the little sticks on the controller unscrew off and fit inside the controller. So that can be flat. This is truly the nimble aerial photographer.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about it compared to the Spark. So, mm-hmm. Yes, you know, one of the things about the Spark is the legs don't fold in, which is a good and a bad. It's good in the sense that there's no setup. You know, I mean, basically you power it up and off you go. But on the other hand, in addition to the two-axis gimbal the Spark has, it only shoots... It only shoots in HD video. Does the Air have 4K?
The Air has 4K, and where you'll see this, and I absolutely checked this out. It was one of the first things I did. I pulled up some old video of where I would just fly around the house and in the summer, and you've got leaves all over the trees. So I try to do the same path with the Air, and it is unbelievably different, the clarity that it brings out, like in leaves, things with edges. It actually, it's crisp and clear at that 100 bit rate.
You know, when you put the quadcopter up in the Air, are you thinking primarily video or photography? Kind of what's the thing that you love to do with it?
Truthfully, I believe if I looked at everything I did, I'm probably 60-40 with photography being the 60.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the better way of putting it. Video certainly takes more work in my mind. I have to understand it better. That could be one of the reasons right there is it's just the time and the effort you're going to put in to understand it. And I know as well as you do, I know we've talked about this in the past. When you put video together, you've got to post-process it.
You do.
It's time. And now it's very rewarding, though. I will say, with the video I've shot with it, when it's as crisp and clear as the Air, it starts to push you in a different direction and say, you know what, spend some time and really make something epic looking with it. But just to get up, I love doing, from a photography standpoint, what I really like doing is taking the Air up and dropping the lens straight down and just taking pictures straight down mm-hmm. onto the mm-hmm. earth. It just looks so different. You just have no idea whether it's crisscross patterns or things look so different from up above that you never got to see before.
Talk about those still images. Now, it mm-hmm. does not shoot RAW, right? Or does it?
No, it does.
Oh, it does. So the Air shoots RAW.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. So
right. So you can definitely bring in the RAW files.
Have you done that? Have you tried that?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And it not only shoots RAW, but you can, you know, it'll do bracketing. Mm-hmm. It'll do in camera HDR for you as well.
Sure.
And it's okay. If you were looking for a quick hit, you wanted to get something out social media wise, I think that's a nice way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to bring them in and really put them together, I think one of the sharp things that it will do is you can do that bracketing and take a beautiful panel and bracket each level of that panel. You know, and sometimes you get 27, 30 shots in those things, and putting it all together at three shots a piece, it does a great job of bringing it all in. And I would still use, it has a stitching software as well in there, but I find I'd rather use the, you know, whatever program you're using, I'd rather use probably the Lightroom.
I'll let DJI do a stitch just so I can get a look at it. But
same thing.
Yeah, you know, just to make sure that I'm on track. But the application, actually, I really like for the panoramas that I do with the Spark is mm-hmm. Lightroom. I think Lightroom does a really photographic kind of stitch.
Right.
And I think they look really nice. And the images, because the quadcopter is so precise in how it captures the images,
mm-hmm.
they stitch beautifully. So panorama photography with these quadcopters is a beautiful thing. It's panorama photography unlike anything I've done before.
I think it's two things. One is because it is a beautiful, and it's that gimbal. I mean, they are the master of the gimbal, I think, DJI. Mm-hmm. And then it's the elevation.
Sure.
No matter, even if you're on top of a mountain that you've climbed or whatever, however you got there, it's the elevation to be away from things that you just can never be at.
Mm-hmm.
Makes your panorama so much more beautiful. And I would probably say out of my 60% of photography, probably 30 or 40% of that is panoramas.
Next month, you know, we have a aerial photography workshop, and panorama workflow is going to be one of the things that we spend time on, just because I I've always liked panoramas, but now I love panoramas. And like you said, the combination of the angle that you can get and then the precision of the captures, it's just so easy, and they're fantastic. And I don't go as high. I shoot like 60 feet, 80 feet, sometimes 100 mm-hmm. feet, not much higher usually. Mainly because I'm doing the controlling with my iPhone and not an actual right. controller, so I gotta watch it there.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes you find all of a sudden you're going, where did it go?
Where did it go? Where is my $500 quadcopter?
Right.
And when you're talking about how DJI is a master of small and precision, the other thing they do is they give us a lot of goodies in there. We have auto bracketing, we have panorama, we have, you know, all these different tools. And when you're talking about the video, and we both share the post-production blues, when it comes to video, but they do this thing where they'll put the video together for you, and it's actually kind of cool.
They'll take some of your video that you shoot all, you can go out and shoot for hours, really, as long as you have enough batteries,
mm-hmm.
and then ask it to put it together, and they'll do a 30-second or a 1-minute clip of, you know, I don't know how they use their algorithms, but I'm sure they're doing it when you're doing some nice panning and it's smooth or whatever, but they'll put together some of the best shots. And I've got to tell you, from a perspective of, you know, like you said, the post-processing blues, that makes me very happy.
Absolutely.
I can bring that home. I can throw that together. And, you know, when you shoot, I mean, I don't know about you, I like to bring home and show somebody in the family, like, hey, look what I did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you use, and you talked about little things that they give us, if you use some of their intelligent flight modes,
mm-hmm.
Which, of course, are very good and a great way to start if you're not a quadcopter expert, for sure. And I would suggest anyone that starts to use these things, because one thing I found, and the mistakes can be pretty hefty if you're not paying attention or exactly understanding what you're doing with those sticks and controllers. You love photography, you'd love to shoot some video, but flying quadcopters, it's a little bit different mindset.
It is. And, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm still not that comfortable with it.
Oh, and neither am I.
and I think as I become a better pilot, it's probably a little bit like driving a stick shift car too. As I become a better pilot, then I'll be able to focus more of my attention on the photography. But, you know, a lot of what I do now, you know, part of this is because of the battery life of the Spark. I sort of have an idea what I want to shoot. I put it in the air. I get the shots, and then I bring it back down. Take a little breather for a second, maybe change batteries if I have to or whatever, and then do the next shoot that way. So I think my piloting is more driven by just getting in position for the actual shot as opposed to just being a pilot.
Yeah, and I would say that's exactly where I'm at. But so the intelligent flight modes, and there's a couple really neat ones only on the Mavic Air called the Boomerang, where it actually looks like you've thrown out a boomerang and it'll take it way out and bring it right back to you. You just have to, you set it up, you hit boomerang and you hit go, and you watch it do that nice panoramic, you know, cinematic turn for you. And then you come back and go, wow, I'm really good. you know, and then the asteroid one where it takes off and it turns it into you've got to know, I probably love that one. It turns it into a tiny planet. That one is really sharp. I like that one a lot. But one that's on, I think, on the Spark for sure, and I know it's on the Mavic Pro too, is this tripod mode.
That's my favorite mode. I mean, that's one that I shoot, especially video, like 99% of the time I'm in tripod mode.
Right, and I was going to bring that up because when I shoot with tripod mode, I've done it a lot around where if I get near mountains, I just like to be more careful. Maybe it's in me, but I'll tell you what, water and like maybe creeks or bends where you actually have to fly, because it slows everything. I don't know, what would you say, Derek, in half at least?
At least.
I mean, like your movement on your sticks can be very dramatic in regular mode. And you can really take these little things and spin them around corners like on a dime. But it's very slow and deliberate, I think, when you go into tripod mode.
And it's just wildly steady. I mean, I love video in tripod mode because, to me, that looks very professional. You know, the quadcopter's not moving very fast. It's really taking it in. The flight path is just like dead on steady. It's beautiful. It's really, really good stuff. And especially for someone like me who's not a great pilot, tripod mode, it's sort of comforting at the same time too.
Exactly.
I feel like I'm not going to destroy my aircraft while I'm, you know, capturing video.
Right. And I think that's my piece about being near mountains. I really don't want to try to climb the mountain looking for my Mavic Air.
Exactly. Yeah.
I know I crashed it around here. And one new thing that is not on the Pro that I do think needs to be talked about, and certainly not on the Spark, is this obstacle avoidance. They've put 7 cameras on the Mavic Air, two in the rear, 2 underneath, 2 in the front, and of course the main camera. But what it does, it creates like a real-time 3D map, and probably the best is to go on the DJI site to see how they do it. But if you're coming towards an obstacle, and the Spark and the Pro have this, and certainly on the front, Pro has it, I think, on the bottom too, it'll actually stop. It won't let you go into a tree or into a house type. You know, it sees that as long as you're not in sport mode. But this one actually avoids it. So as it's coming up to that tree, it actually takes over and moves to the right or the left and goes right around it. You know, you can really, I hate to call it be irresponsible, but not be thinking.
Right.
You know, because I don't know about you, but I find that I'm in the mode and then all of a sudden I get nervous, like, oh, now what? Right, left, left, right?
Oh, I all you know? The time. And the other thing that the Air has is has the cameras behind it in the back, which the Spark does not.
And that does matter because I love those pull-away shots. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to do video, I'm always going to include a nice pull-away ascend shot away. I did it with my Spark 2 or 3 times, backing into trees. You know, getting it caught up in the trees. Yeah. If you do it with the propeller guards, the only thing you're going to do is just knock it down.
Sure.
But it's still frustrating if it doesn't come to the ground or it comes down to hard cement, then you are in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, not to mention the mild heart palpitations that you have.
And that also is the other thing. And then, you know, usually, you know, I'm trying to show somebody like my wife and they're saying, I told you. I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So...
On a real practical question, I don't suppose we're lucky enough to where the Air uses the same batteries as the Spark.
No, no. And I have found that DJI does not do that.
Man.
No, and that is, the battery life certainly is better than the Spark. I know they're rated at 20 minutes. I'm going to give a real lifetime of 15 to 17.
Mm-hmm.
And it, just in contrast, the Mavic Pro, about 27 minutes. So you do, it's noticeable from my Pro, you know, having that Pro, you could really stay up there for a while. But I find... again, this seems to fit right in the middle. I, like you, I like to almost bring it down,
mm-hmm.
and take a deep breath and mm-hmm. say, okay, you didn't wreck it. Good job.
I know.
Just change that battery. Be responsible. Now get back up and, like you said, go find that next spot, because while I'm up there, I might, oh, that's a nice thing. I didn't even realize that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's, to me, I think if you ever are going to invest in the Mavic Air, and this is probably even the Spark too, but the Mavic Air, I would always suggest to buy that Fly More package. It's so you get three batteries, you get a case, you get propeller guards, extra little sticks for your, when you lose those darn sticks in the controller. Mm-hmm. It comes with a controller. It's worth the extra probably $250, just the batteries alone. If you go buy two of those batteries, you're going to go over that.
And, yeah.
And you're going to want more batteries.
Because I want to talk about that for a second. So just to finish off your thought, and the Spark real time, I think, is like 12 to 13 minutes. I generally get of air time. And you do need batteries. And I also think, and I'm going to have this at the workshop too, I also I have a field charger for it also. DJI makes a really nice field charger where you can actually be charging the batteries that you take out of the aircraft, charging them while you're using the other ones. And on a Spark, if you're going to be out, you know, doing anything at all, I really think at the end of the day, you need like four batteries too.
I agree. And I have that same, maybe not the same one, but I picked up one from Amazon, a hefty battery pack that I can plug the charger right into. So out in the field, I'm charging as I bring it out a battery, I'm slapping it right back in and it's charging out in the field. If you only have that one battery, it's going to be fun, but it seems like you're never going to get it out of your neighborhood. Or when you find something really nice and cool that you want to shoot, you're going to say, oh, darn it, that's it, I'm done.
And does this happen to you? One of the things that I've noticed with my Spark batteries is that if I don't fly for a while, let's say that I'm really busy, I don't fly for like 3 weeks or something, the batteries drain.
They sure do. These batteries, because they're just not that lithium, if you don't do anything with them for a couple months, they've extremely drained down. I mean, they're to nothing.
To nothing.
This is not like your camera battery.
No, not at all.
Batteries are very, light bulb batteries. There you go. I knew I'd remember. That's the name of it. I'm sure that stands for something, LIPO.
Mm-hmm.
We probably have some drone people listening that are saying that. But I do know that you do need to keep them at a certain room temperature. You don't want to freeze them out. You don't want to make them overheat. And then can keep them in these, I think even DJI sells them a little. It's just like a little pack that's actually like a fireproof pack.
Mm-hmm.
If they ever were to catch, I don't think they are, but they do get. It's funny. You don't fly for a couple of weeks. I've felt mine, and they're warm. And like, how could this battery be warm?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's gone down. So yeah, it's, you know, battery maintenance and battery health are an important part to learn for drone photography, no matter what you're shooting.
Kind of the home stretch I wanted to do here, and again, this will be something that we do in the workshop, but I have discovered a whole routine that I have to do if I think I'm going to fly. It's not like I just grab my Micro Four Thirds camera on the way out the door. It's not that at all. You know, so first of all, there's the whole weather thing, and, you know, is wind under 5 miles an hour? You know,
because right.
If it's not, if nothing else, you're going to use a lot of battery juice with the thing
exactly.
fighting. Second thing, and this gets me all the time, is there a firmware update? Like, you have to...
Right, I was going to just say the same thing.
You have to...
Be prepared.
You have to fire it up at home before you leave, let it go through its whole process, and see if there's a firmware update while you still have access to internet and can right. do it. Because mm-hmm. I've been out on the field with a fantastic shot in front of me. I go, I'm just going to pull out the Spark and get the shot right now because I carry it with me a lot. Then I needed a firmware update and I have no internet out there. And mm-hmm. you know, and the whole thing just becomes this thing of frustration.
Right. And absolutely. And so it's almost a pre-night planning thing. When I know I'm going out, I better have the and then you've got firmware updates on the batteries even.
You do
right, have, it's not just the quad, it's the batteries themselves and then the controller, if you have a controller, that's the other thing. So
anyway, yeah. This has been really helpful, Michael. So here's my bottom line. I really want the Air, but but what would you say a real life investment is if I were to do it right?
The Flymore is $999, I believe. Mm-hmm. Last I checked this morning, I checked before I came on. I would definitely get the Flymore package. Just the batteries alone force you into it, and that's the way they set it up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, and so you're there, and then the only other thing I think. I wrote down a couple accessories that I just don't like to leave home without, and that's ND filters for the filming and actually picture taking from Polar Pro. They have a real nice set of three, and what they've done with the Mavic Air now is they actually screw on the other ones are have these clips and you hope it doesn't fall off in the air and. These screw on, they're just, you know, I mean, just like you would a screw on ND filter for your lens.
That's awesome. That's
they
awesome.
Finally figured it out that that's what they should be doing. But I love going up with those. I think that adds such a difference because it can get pretty sunny up there in the sky.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you drop an ND16 on there in the middle of the day and you can get some just amazing shots. You're bringing them down in raw. You know, you're processing in there. So I would say that. And one last small thing, the ND filters are going to get you $50 to $60, but it's just a landing pad. These things get very close to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, oh boy, that's just corny BS, you know, landing pad. And then you start to do it. And where am I going to land this thing on this rocky area? Mm-hmm. These things only have short little legs.
They do.
It's amazing how much dust and dirt they kick up as they're landing, just like a helicopter would run under.
Yeah.
That blows right back up into your quadcopter. And I just don't want to take the chance of ruining my expensive quadcopter from dust or dirt. So you throw down that landing pad. It's pretty neat. You land on it and, you know, secure it to the ground so it doesn't blow away before you do that. And I think that to me is an investment that I wouldn't want to go without. And that's it. So, I mean, you know, $1,100, let's say, and then you're in and you're rolling. And as time goes on, I'm sure you get more. Plus, there you get the case, the nice little case.
Which as case guys, we truly appreciate.
Right.
Hey, this has been so much fun. We should have done this a long time ago.
I know. Get going. I can't stop talking about it.
Yeah, but I think the timing is great in the sense of the Air. I really wanted to talk about it, and I really appreciate you taking time out, Michael.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, and maybe possible I still get there. I'm holding out hope for June.
Yeah, if there's any bribe money I have to send anywhere, anything like that, just let me know, okay?
Yeah, to my work.
All right, I know. All right, Michael, take care now.
All right, thanks.
So Mike was pretty convincing about the Air, wasn't he? The Mavic Air. The more I think about it, though, I've thought about it since we've done this talk, because we did the talk on Saturday and I'm recording this on Monday. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand pat right now, as much as I want the Air, and I really do. But the things that Mike brought up, you know, the batteries in particular, and just having to start all over with, you know, another $1,100 investment when my little Spark is doing great and serving me well for what I'm using it for. However, the first moment where I needed an upgrade, where I needed 4K video, or I needed those additional cameras, in a heartbeat, I would pick the Mavic Air. So I would say that right now I'm just in a holding pattern until a real need comes up where I can justify it to myself and maybe to anyone else that might ask me about it. Now I feel prepared though, because, you know, before I was just sort of wondering, you know, am I just being tempted by the latest new thing, or is this a tool that is really worth the investment? Bottom line for me is it is worth the investment. And when the right moment comes along, I'll probably get it. And a big thanks to Mike for helping me get to the bottom of all of that. The Portfolio Project, week 2, Portraits of Women. As I mentioned last week, I'm working on this portfolio project, this online portfolio project, and I'm really excited about this because it is a chance for me just to build a few galleries of the stuff that I really like without all the other clutter, without all the other things. And, you know, I talked about the different sites and why it just hasn't happened with them. And then I met the good folks over at Portfolio Box, and it all came together for me. So the very first week, last week when I talked about it, I put up a gallery, a travel gallery for Cuba. And then the second week, this week, what I have up is Portraits of Women. And this was very fun. And the whole idea behind Portraits of Women, I do a lot of portraiture work. And I have all of these galleries, these client galleries that I have done for these women over the years. And, you know, there's like 60 to 150 shots in each gallery. And those are the galleries that I send to them. They're password protected, all that kind of stuff, for them to review and pick the shots that they want. So I have them sitting there, but I haven't really done anything with them. And so what I was thinking, wouldn't it be neat if I just went to my favorite galleries, picked one shot out of my favorite galleries, and then built a page where I just had one shot of each woman on this page from my favorite galleries. And the minute I thought of this, I go, this is wonderful. I'm going to have so much fun doing this. So right away, I started, you know, digging into my other galleries. And it was harder than I thought to pick the one shot, because I was thinking that for this Portfolio Box gallery, I didn't want all the shots to look the same. You know, I didn't want just like straight head-on shots or anything like that. And almost always in these shoots that I do, we have the standard shots, and, you know, and then, you know, I ask them to mix it up a little bit. Sometimes I even ask them, you know, to move, and I shoot in succession. You know, I'll shoot a burst mode while they're moving, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so there are almost always some unique shots mixed in there along with what we call standard portraiture. And for a lot of these shots in this Portfolio Box gallery, I wanted to pick something that was a little different. And what I got after I did that was this very, what I think is an eclectic page of portraits of women. And I did swap them out. You know, I would build the page and think I'd be happy with it. It's a little bit like writing in the sense in that, you know, I thought it was ready, and then I'd step away, go have a bite to eat or something, come back and look at it. And I'd like all the shots except for one. And I go, that one shot isn't quite right. So then I'd go back to the big gallery and pick a different shot, put it in there, and then see how I felt about it. And I did this over like the course of a day. But by the end of the day, I really had it. And then I knew that the true test would be the next morning when I looked at it. And if I still liked it, then we were good to go. I did, and we are. So this is what working with Portfolio Box has given me, is this opportunity to create these pages. Now, next week, I'm going to do events. I shoot a lot of event photography, and I want to kind of take the same approach, interesting shots that I've gathered over the years from photographing events. And then I think the fourth gallery, because I've committed to doing four galleries in May, will be street photography. So that'll be the fourth week. But the gallery for this week is Portraits of Women. I have the link in the show notes, so you can go over there and see it. However, I have to tell you, because I have a pro account with Portfolio Box, I have a really great URL. I have DerekStoryPhotography.com, because I can do that with the pro account. It's just part of it. I also spent some time working on the About Me page, because I was thinking that was something else that I didn't really have the way I wanted, where I wanted. And so, I mean, I have About Me page on LinkedIn, for example, but it's their format, not mine. So I probably spent another half an hour working on that. So if you looked at it last time, I've done some more effort on it, and you might want to take a look at it this time. All of this, as I mentioned earlier, is thanks to the good folks at Portfolio Box. I have a link to their site in the show notes, and they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. And if you go to that landing page, either through the link or the tile, and you decide to go pro, which is only $82.80 a year, you will get an additional 20% off. 20% off that by going to the landing page. So I really suggest you should do that. If you want to just try it out for free, you can do that also. It's a very generous free account. But if you want to get to the custom domain name and you want to have, you know, unlimited pages and hosting up to 1,000 images, then you'll want to go pro account. I think you probably want to go pro account sooner than later, especially at this price, 20% off $82.80. And a big thanks to Portfolio Box for contacting me and just helping me get this project started. I'm really excited about it. Next week, I'll talk about the events, and I'm really looking forward to working on that too. I have all these galleries from events, and I'm going to try to bring that same sort of creativity to that as well. We have more entries for the signed print giveaway, and you may be going, what is that? If you haven't listened to the last few shows, that comes out of my lynda.com work and my LinkedIn learning. And I was just thinking that I have all these trainings on there that I haven't talked about. Capture One Pro 11, Luminar, Photos for Mac OS, Dropbox for Photographers, Sharing Photos with Flickr, A Photographer in Cuba, and High School Seniors Portrait Photography. And if you just go over there and watch any of my titles, just one chapter of any of my titles, all you have to do is use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer, thenimblephotographer.com. And I have the link in the show notes if you forget that. And just use the contact form and let me know what chapter from what title you watched. And then you're entered into the signed print. The signed print that I'm going to do the random drawing from those who have participated. I'm going to do it at the end of the month. Do the drawing, and then I'll announce it on the next show. And then I will send that person a signed print from the Maui Project. And I've already done the print, and I have to tell you, it looks fantastic. It's really, really beautiful. Go over and do it. Use the contact form. Let me know what you watched, and I'll put your name in the drawing. And who knows? You might be the one that gets the signed print. Nothing would make me happier. So we've been talking about drones on this show, quadcopters and all that good stuff. I just have to remind you, I have a really fun workshop coming up on June 8th through 10, right here in Sonoma County, where all the stuff that Mike and I were talking about, that's what we're going to be doing. Plus, we're going to go to a hot air balloon festival. Plus, we're going to do a little street photography in Petaluma, getting there by a smart train. Plus, we're going to do all sorts of other fun stuff. I mean, this is just a photography heaven for 3 days. I hope you can come out and join us. Maybe listening to Mike and I chat about quadcopters will get you motivated to come out. And you know, even if you don't fly, even if you don't have your own drone, come, because this is the way to do it. What better environment? I mean, with people who are easy to get along with and who won't be intimidating and who say, yeah, you don't know anything about this, you came to the right place, and we'll get you up to speed, and it'll be fun. You'll totally enjoy it. So that is, as I mentioned, June 8th through 10th. There's a link directly to the sign-up page in the show notes. Just go there. Or if you can't find that, you know, use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer. Let me know that you want to participate, and I'll send you the reservation form in the itinerary. I want to give a big thanks to the folks that are members of our Inner Circle. I've had a lot of contact from Inner Circle members lately, mainly because they were writing me about the latest movie that I put up. And there have been other things going on of interest to them, you know, that we've been doing on the show. And it's just great to sort of have this group of core supporters, people who really care about what we're doing here. And I just want to thank all of our Inner Circle members for their participation and for helping, you know, keep this show alive and well. And if you're interested in becoming a part of that, becoming a Patreon supporter of The Digital Story, there is a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. Click on it and you'll get the whole scoop, and there's fun stuff. You get fun stuff as a result, in addition to the warm, fuzzy feeling of being a core supporter of this show. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, the folks who stand by us month after month, and who produce some of the finest printing paper in the world. The paper that I used for the signed print that's going to be going to someone here sometime next month. And you might not think that this would happen after all these years of me working with Red River Paper, but I too go over to the site and nose around on a regular basis, see what's going on, check out different paper stocks, check out a printer review, you know, look at some of the interesting supplies that they have on hand. I thought, well, maybe I should try this. Maybe I should get glassine sleeves, stuff like that. It's really kind of fun. And the nice thing about shopping over at Red River Paper is that it's far more affordable than shopping at the other places that we usually shop as photographers. Keep that in mind. You get a lot for your money, a lot more than you get in an electronics store. Just saying. Red River Paper, they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And of course, they have a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the interview, sitting in on the chat that I had with Mike. And I hope you consider joining us in June for the event. If it's not in the cards for you, make sure you come back and join me next week for this show. I've got more great stuff on tap. I look forward to chatting with you then. Until next week, have a great week. See you Tuesday. Bye-bye now.